morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now, here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's word.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Gentlemen, we've recently started a new area of study, and that's really looking at the story of the raising of Lazarus. It comes out of the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, and we kind of have an outline. Most recently, we've been looking at the component of the story where Mary and Martha have sent a messenger to Jesus, asking, informing him of Lazarus' illness, and says that Jesus is going to wait. Right, and so we said, you know, sometimes Jesus lingers. You know, sometimes we find ourselves engaged in a situation, or an experience, or something's going on in my life, and I really want Jesus present right now. And sometimes He lingers, those type of things. Do you think maybe you could take a few moments and share with our listening audience some of the insights you've gleaned from that particular section of the story in our study?
I think that in my case, when I have to wait instead of getting, instead of Jesus showing up when I command Him to, you know, when I have to wait and pray and be patient, I think during that time of waiting, gives me a chance to reflect on what's actually going on, even when it's a bad experience. And I think there's a lot of growth that comes from that. And, you know, I relate it to instant gratification, Him being Jesus and not just showing up when I think it's time, you know, or when I think I need Him to show up. In addition to, what takes place while I'm waiting and praying, I think it could also benefit me in giving me a chance to look at how I got into that situation to begin with.
Some self-reflection.
Yeah.
All right, and then on a topic such as that, sometimes waiting for Jesus is part of, we said, it's part of our transformation. And self-reflection on how did I get into this situation can benefit as far as maybe it will prevent me next time from getting into this situation. So it can contribute to the transformation at that level. That's kind of what I hear.
Right.
Is there something you were going to say there, Brian?
Well, like reading on Lazarus, Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. I guess there was a point in time when I was just so madly in love with him and my faith was so put upon him that when I turned away in my own stupidity, I went back into my tomb. And I was expecting him to come in there and pull me out because I knew him the first time. Like, well, this guy is awesome. He's wonderful. Like, why wouldn't he want to come and just pull me out? But I think sometimes he was waiting on me. You know, he never left me, but he was just waiting on me. He gave me many opportunities and until he intervened, and I didn't like whenever he intervened because he put me in a safe place, I should say, and then, you know, brought me back here, so.
Yeah, I think overall, when we look at the total story, that we've had some dark days. We've spent some portions of our life living in the tomb where it's dark and it stinks and all that kind of stuff. It's death. Particularly if we're engaged in our addiction. You know, that's a slow suicide. We're engaged in the forces of death. And Jesus comes along and he rolls away the stone. He opens the tomb. What's interesting about that story is he calls us out, which means we have to get up and we have to choose to walk out of the dark, the dang, the stench, the death. We have to walk out. We can always walk back in. The stone's still rolled away.
Oh, yeah.
We can always walk back in. And yes, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do, but he's done what he's taken care of the activity. Right? He's made access to the light outside the tomb. He's made access to the life outside the tomb. He'll call you by name, but you still have to stand up and walk. And yes, you're right. You can always walk back in. But the invitation's already been done. You can always walk back out. Some people walk back in and they don't come back out. Some people, when the stone's originally rolled away, they never come out. But yes, when we look at the story of Lazarus, we see that he does provide access for us to move from a position of death toward a position of life. Anybody else? Mr. Dazed and Confused over there?
Now, we talked about soul sickness. That really stuck with me. I mean, it was the soul sickness that led and fed my addiction. Addictions in my way of life. And when Jesus lingers, I mean, I'm still soul sick, but that's also for the glory of God, which is like the mystery. Like, people, when I get to the point, hopefully I'm already been there a little bit with people looking at me like there's something different, something going on with, you know, what's, it's not me, which is the glory of God. Only God can do this. Like, if they can see me as an example of God's power, transformation, then that was maybe not the point of my soul sickness, but that's what God used it for. I don't think God intends for anybody to be soul sick or to be, an addict, but He'll use, makes all things good for those who love Him.
Yeah, if we were to come back to kind of Brent's little insight there, if we're in the tomb, you know, we're death. We're dead because of our soul sickness, right? We're in the tomb, and God, you know, through Jesus, calls us. All right, we're going to walk out into the light. We're going to be blinded because we've been in darkness all the time. I mean, we've all walked from a, right, you're inside the local mall or something, you walk out in a bright light, you're like, oh, God, where's my sunglasses? You know, it's, you kind of start squinting and stuff like that. Well, who created the light?
God.
And who created life?
God.
So if you move from death to life, if you move from dark to light, you're moving to God. So how else can anything be glorified but God? The whole action is God. What about you, Mikey? Any insights you want to share?
A portion of my transformation has involved working through my disappointments. And I've done that with faith and knowing that something's wrong if life is easy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's kind of, I'm glad you said that, because that's kind of the theme of the day, I guess. And maybe we should get a little scripture in here if I could have somebody read just the first six verses.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on.
Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah. That's sufficient.
He's already gone. He can't stop this guy.
I know. What number did I say? It's a long story, you know, and a lot's in there. That's why it's worth. And it is very applicable to our own journey of transformation, particularly moving from a life of addiction, a life of soul sickness, to the life that God intended us to have. Right? That's really thematically what we're talking about is this transformation. All right, well, let's back it up just to look at verses 1 through 6. We get this idea that Lazarus is taken ill. Mary and Martha. And when we read John's Gospel, we see that Jesus is pretty tight. Right? He's close friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Right? And it says there that he loved them. So Mary and Martha, Lazarus is taken ill. They send a messenger to Jesus and his disciples, his followers, and say, "Look at the one whom you love, he's not doing well." And then it says he stays on for two more days. He lingers around. He doesn't just, we gotta go. All right, hey, Lazarus, my good friend's dying. You know, gotta get there. Now, what do you think Mary and Martha felt when the messenger comes back and says, "I told him"? And they said, "Well, what'd he say?" "Well, I told him what you know, that Lazarus isn't doing well, and he just kind of turned around and walked on. He's not coming." What do you think Mary and Martha felt?
Disappointment.
Why were they disappointed?
Thought he'd come right away.
Which says what?
Maybe he doesn't care. That's what they might be thinking is, wow.
They had expectations.
Okay, and what's the expectation?
That he would come immediately.
Yeah. Well, Lazarus wondered, you know, if he was dying, then it would be too late. Maybe he wanted to raise him from the dead.
Is it disillusionment?
So what would be the illusion? If they're disillusioned, what is the expectation, the illusion? Because sometimes we have these expectations that, look at Jesus, you don't understand. I need you, and I need you now. And what we're discovering here is that sometimes Jesus lingers. He doesn't show up when we think we need him right now. So what is our illusion in all that?
That we know when we need him.
Yeah.
We know
he doesn't love us.
That might be part of it, you know. Kind of what Dan was saying there too. I mean, if we were to jump forward, I mean, we have that where he finally shows up and said, Lord, if you'd only been here. That somehow, if God is present, bad things won't happen.
Right.
Well, gentlemen, we've talked in here before. I mean, there's plenty of us. I mean, we've been in that crack house and we said God was probably still there with us. And there's been other times where you think, this is not good. You know, I'm looking for employment and I'm not finding anything. And if only God would show up, I'd get that job. And so we'll pray for the job because we want God to show up so we can get the job. Isn't the illusion that bad things won't happen if God is present?
Yeah.
The only reason bad things happen to me is because God wasn't present. And that's an illusion. If you have the expectation that bad things are not going to happen to you if God is always around, you're going to get disappointed.
Right.
What are some of your disillusionments? What are some of your disappointments where maybe you had this unrealistic expectation?
I think one of my illusions was, like we just said, if I just quit drinking and quit drugging, everything will be fine. You know, my life will go smooth, all my problems will go away, and I'll be content with who I am. And I'll find that serenity that I've always been looking for. You know, if I just remove the drugs and the alcohol, everything will be fine. Where now I'm finding out that when I remove the drugs and the alcohol, then the struggle just begins, you know, and realizing how much change really needs to take place. You know, it's without the drugs and the alcohol that I can begin to change. And that's where the serenity that I'm looking for, I think, will come.
Yeah, because we would say if we were actively engaged in our addiction, I mean, there was kind of the illusion that somehow or another this feel-good, this artificial feel-good was going to help me. That's an illusion. It's an illusion to think that just that bad things aren't going to happen to me if God's present. It has to be overcome. So what does that tell you? If it's kind of what you're saying, kind of step one is getting rid of the death and the destruction, the tomb stuff, and stepping into the light, what kind of liberation comes there?
Well, you know, when we come out of the basement or the bedroom or the house and we come out into the daylight, now we got to do something. You know, when I'm in the basement or the bedroom, you know, just laid up with my poison, I don't have to do anything other than lay there, maybe get up, eat something once in a while.
You can actually see when you come out.
Yeah, when you come out, now I got to do something. There's work to do, you know, whatever kind that is, whether it's employment or, you know, just work, you know, to live a normal life. Plant the garden, harvest the garden, water the garden, or, you know, whatever the case is. Once you come out and want to be part of life, well, then you have to participate in life.
So we would say that part of our transformation, right, is working through our disappointments and our disillusionments. Right? That sometimes when we're experiencing something we may interpret as being bad, right, doesn't mean God's absent.
Right.
But sometimes in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the sorrow, the suffering, where it feels like God is absent, God is actually most present. Because God is working the transformative action that leads to life.
I wrote down from yesterday's lesson that we have hope when we realize that all we see is today, but God sees eternity. To see beyond what's happening to me right now, having hope is that big picture vision.
Yeah. You know? Well, all right, gentlemen, I appreciate your insights and sharing today. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.